Yeah. G'day. Good to have a good bit of Aussie culture here. So when we talked about this World Cup, Keith said, you know, the ruse cannot catch the box. So I looked up, and it's true. These Springboks run really fast. They're like the third or fourth fastest animal in the world. So I wrote back and said, but, you know, they do that on four legs. Kangaroos jump on two legs. All we've got to do is, if you watched us play Wales, we had 13 men, two down, and we held them for 7 minutes right on our try line. So we take out the legs of the Springbok, and then, no problem. Okay, I've been blessed. I know you all have been blessed with this conference so far. It's been unbelievable, and this Farming God's Way I've heard about for so long, and now you guys are here. And that's what we're doing in aquaponics, is Farming God's Way. So let's pray first, and then we'll start. Lord, you are great. We love you. You've got us here. You've blessed us. You've built so much excitement and anticipation here. And I just pray you help us all to take all this stuff and know how to plug in and how to do it, reproduce it all throughout Africa. And we can look back in 10 years at this first conference and just thank you for what's happened in those years since then. Bless this time together, Lord. In Jesus' name. And bring rain to this country, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the holiest team win. Did what? Yeah, I said the best team win, the holiest team. I don't know who's got Christians in their team, but may God be glorified through the rugby. So I grew up a sheep and wheat farm in the middle of New South Wales. That's what I know. Now we're doing aquaponics in Almaty. We built one actually in Almaty, but in Colorado Springs where we live, we've got a 3,000 square foot aquaponics system. Now, who knows? Who's heard of aquaponics before? About half. And so we know, some of us know what it is. So we're going to start at the beginning. Aquaponics is, if you heard of aquaculture, this is fish farming, raising fish. And if you heard of hydroponics, growing vegetables in water. So we put this together in one system, and we call it aquaponics. So Emerge is a YWAM team, and I tell you, it's exciting now in world missions, because the mission organizations are looking at engaging with the business community in the nations, taking for-profit business. And there's a lot of difficulties with this when you got people coming voluntary work, charity, non-profit, working together with the for-profit people. How do you marry this? So when you think about business's mission, you think about the missions community. I've been in missions for 32 years and had a great time all over the world, but the last 7 years doing, practicing, working on building partnerships with the business guys, it is the best time of my life. Business guys say, wow, I can be involved in missions. You mean I can come and use what God's given me alongside you guys and be a part of the Great Commission? They get so excited. Because traditionally, the missions community holding out the hand, you know, give us money. We are spiritually trained. We're at the top of God's hierarchy. You know, you make this dirty money here, and you give it to us. And it's a lie that we've lived with. I mean, we've communicated this lie. And I need to repent from the missions community of that attitude. It's wrong. And we work with business guys who, they also repent and say, I've given my tithe, I love Jesus, and I give my tithe and finish, or I give more donations, and that's all I do. But God's calling me to give my whole life, all my skills. So when we share this with these guys, they say, wow, I can go together with you to the field, and I can help to produce, to plant, to build some factory, and they're so excited. There's an army of people out there ready to go. Let's sound the horn, engage these guys together as equals. So this team in Colorado Springs, you're all invited. Second weekend of June next year, this will be our 8th annual business summit. 50% businessmen, 50% missionaries, and we get the leaders, Campus Crusade, Navigators, OM, YWAM, coming together and discussing how we can work together in the field. I mean, just YWAM, 2,000 operating locations all over the world, people ready to go on the ground, know the culture, know the language, got contacts locally, and that's worth money to the business community. So we're busy within the organization trying to bring in this new paradigm, and they're doing it in OM here in South Africa, Port Elizabeth. They've got a great team. They're meeting in Atlanta now while we're here, their leadership team. They build these investor circles. They got a guy on the field who is a B for T, business for transformation developer, who knows the local community, who knows what businesses are trying to get established out there. They work with their business plans. They send these plans back to the investor circles, and there's communications going on, and then they go on the field, ready to invest, look at the businesses, how they can partner with them. And that's what our team in Colorado Springs is all about. Aqua. Okay. Sunshine, again. Okay, what am I doing wrong? Yeah, I'm pushing it back here. Where have I got to point it? Back this. Yeah. Going to reboot? Okay. There we go. So we've already said that's growing fish and plants together in one symbiotic system. How it works. So fish are raised in a tank. Water from the tank is pumped through to the plants. And then there's a bacteria which converts the ammonia, which is the waste product from the fish. And most of it actually comes from the gills. Plants absorb this nitrates, which is the last process. So it goes from ammonia to nitrites, which is also still toxic to the fish, and then to nitrates. And then the water is filtered and returned to the fish tank, and it makes the fish happy. And it's true. You walk in, we've got a big 12,000-gallon tank, and you see the fish go up to the window, and they're all, you know, speaking to you there. And so they're happy fish. I mean, it's an emotional connection here. and it's the beauty of this system is it's farming God's way. This waste product from the fish is a perfect combination of nutrients when it's broken down by the bacteria to feed the plants. You don't have to, normally if the system's running properly, you don't have to add anything. And there's not much water usage because the water revolves around. So you lose a little bit of evaporation and a little bit, you know, we grow lettuce, so the lettuce is taking some of the water. So you have to add some water and some fish food. Okay, it uses 10% of the water of soil. You can grow a lot closer together, two or three times the amount. You've got no disease, tilling, no weeds. And you grow both fish and vegetables together. No pesticides or herbicides. Herbicides. Sorry, you can't see over there. And you're growing locally and you grow it year round. So you've got a controlled environment. So in Colorado Springs, we've got 6 months of snow and cold weather, but we grow right throughout the year. And drought places is good where there's not much water or poor soil quality and low amounts of energy required. So what we need is a fish tank, a place to grow the plants, water pumps, air pump. Some of these are optional, as we'll see later on. A little bit of knowledge of plumbing, just putting the pipes together. Heat the water. In our situation, it's a lot different here. Everywhere around the world, of course, it's different. We need to monitor the temperature. So the water provides a great source of heat for the whole aquaponics system inside the greenhouse. And then optional filtration. And, of course, you need fish and plants. There's different designs. There's a media-based grow bed, so that's little rocks. You put the seeds or the plants in the rocks. The raft systems, it's a floating polystyrene raft that's got holes in it that floats on the water, sits on the water. And nutrient film technology, that's the pipes that have got holes in them that you just put the plants in the little hole in the pipe and the water passes through there. Vertical towers, they do that a lot with strawberries. And the trench aquaponics, which is the lowest cost and the easiest to set up. Here's a media-based system, the flood and drain, we'll talk about a bit more later on. So you can use gravel or this lava rock or this hydroton is more expensive, but it's got a lot of holes in the rock, like lava, volcanic rock. And the bacteria and the nutrients can live inside there. So you've got a greater surface area for your nutrients. What's good about this? It's great for the media system. It's great for smaller systems, easier to find local materials, easier to build. You can grow a lot of different plants in your media system alongside each other. You can make it whatever size you want. And the cons, you can have what they call anaerobic zones. So if you don't have the flow right, sometimes there'll be a dead spot where the water is not changing, not going up and down. So you have to figure out how to drain it out of the bottom sometimes. And you've got to clean it or use worms. The raft system, that's what I was explaining before, styrofoam rafts, floating on water. In our system, we start from the seeds right from the beginning and we go right through to harvest. So it takes about 7 weeks from seed to harvest. And we push it through the system. So, and we've got the styrofoam systems with a lot of holes close together where we, after the seeding, goes into that close proximity styrofoam rafts. When they get to about 3 weeks, we take it out of there and put it into a system where there's not so many holes close together. If you do it like that, you can grow more in a smaller area, a little bit more work. What's good about the raft system? This is when they got commercial. It's bigger, high yields, and usually inside a greenhouse. And then tropical locations here. I think we're going to build one here with Keith, and we're going to try both systems, both the media system and the raft system. It's the filtration is more important with the raft system. Because, like the lettuce we grow, it won't handle the solids from the fish. So you've got to get that out somehow. And we, in our system, we've got both media and raft systems. So the media bed is like the filtration system. And then it's more specific and more focused on one crop. So our commercial operation is lettuce. And that's what the temperature, humidity is for the lettuce. Trench aquaponics, this is cheap, it's easy. So you can see we've got the fish tank here on the end. This is a little alleyway in India. And This only cost about $300. You can even do it cheaper than that, even without a pump. I mean, you can take buckets, take the water out of the fish tank, come up the other end because it's a little bit of slope and the gravity feeds back into the fish tank. Very simple. Very cheap. Can be solar powered. Okay, the fish, there's a whole lot of different fish. The best is tilapia. Does anybody know why? Why is tilapia the best one? Okay, grows faster, it's available. Also, it can stand... Sorry? That's right. It's more durable, stronger, water temperature changes. Even better than that is a goldfish. We had goldfish in the beginning because they're cheap and they've got an even better ability to survive. It froze in Colorado on the top of the tank, like there was ice, and the fish, the goldfish, was still alive underneath. So tilapia's like them. They're very durable, strong, pH level changes, temperature changes, even oxygen changes. We pump oxygen into the fish tank, which you don't have to do, but that helps. You can have a greater density of fish if you pump the oxygen in there. And they survive and they taste good. And they say that it's St. Peter's fish from Galilee. I mean, there's a history there from the Nile, and so they're a great choice. In Australia, it's illegal to grow tilapia, so we've got to do something else there. Commonly used warm water, so they're more of a hot water. So we've actually got tilapia. We're going to change to another fish because it's colder in Colorado. But here, I think tilapia is your best. So take the pH shifts. Omnivorous. So most fish eat other fish. But the tilapia and a few others eat plants as well as the fish. So you don't need to feed them fish. It's cheaper to feed. And they grow, like you said, they grow quick. And there's a ratio of food input to output for different animals, and fish is way there on top. So you think of a fish swimming in water, it doesn't have to hold up its body, so it uses less energy to survive. Whereas a cow, he's got these little legs and 2,000 pounds, and, you know, he's using up a lot of energy. So the ratio of food input to weight growth is a lot more. So it all works with a bacteria which is naturally available in the water, and that starts to eat down the ammonia and makes it into nitrites, and then there's another ammonia which brings out the nitrates which the plant wants. There's a little bit of science to this. It's not difficult. I mean, you can, if you have no knowledge of this, you can, in 6 months, if you stick with it and focus on it, you can pick this up. We've had failures. We built one in Chiang Mai in Thailand. The guy who built it was a concrete guy from Denver. He knew and a successful business with concrete, so he built the trough there out of concrete. What he didn't know, fresh concrete leaches into the system. So, you know, it all died, and the local people, it was a bivocational Bible college, they got discouraged and they left it, and we, you know, just had a failure. So now it's just a soil planting pot. But you've got to have somebody who says, I want to do this. This is exciting. This is, and they see the vision, how God made these two to work together, the fish and the plants, and love it and want to do it. And I mean, it's great for old people's homes, for an orphanage, you know, for people to touch and to feel and be part of growing is therapeutical. So the first thing, what we ought, people are asking us all the time now, come here, come there, let's go and build one of these things. We say first, before money or any transfer of information, who have you got? You know, at least two people. Who have you got that really wants to do that? You know, that's why we're so excited here with Keith. He's farming. A lot of you guys are already in farming. You know you want to do this. And that's the beginning of this. So you've got to do a PhD test. It's not difficult. Takes a bit of time, once a week. In the beginning, maybe more often when you get started. And there's all sorts of charts and information you can get to help you with this. So your leafy greens are better off in the rath system, but you can grow all these things, even flowers. Herbs, basil's really popular. So then you think, the next thing you think is, what's your market? Are you just going to do it for yourself and your community as like a charity, an orphanage or something, or are you going to go and sell this in a restaurant? So that's the other thing before you start. What is your market? How much are they going to pay? Who's going to pay? What do they need? What do they require? And the microgreens, the herbs, are often very popular with the restaurants and easy, and they're local and you can bring them straight to them. So plants like this, because the nutrients are constantly there, it's flowing through the system. So they've constantly got access to these nitrates. Warm water, you don't have to search for the water or the food. It's right there. The plants, you don't have to go down with their roots miles and miles. Where's the water? They can spend more time growing up. And then you don't have to worry about weeds. What influences the amount of available nutrients to the plants? It's the density and size of the fish population. So you look after the fish, feed the fish, learn about the fish, and then the rest will take care of itself. I mean, of course, make sure your system and your pump and everything's working. And the feeding of the fish is important. So they've got to, whatever number of fish you got, whatever the feed ratio is, that there's, again, there's charts and tables to help you with this. That's what you've got to feed them. And they've got to eat this food in 10 to 15 minutes. So you've got to watch them the first few times. That's why I say in the beginning, you've got to be really committed to it. Do nothing else. Just do this aquaponics thing for 6 months, and then you've got it, and then it's easy. So there's different principles like this. Watch them when you feed them. They've got to finish that food. If they don't finish it, you're giving them too much. And then it can go through the rest of the system into the plants and destroy the whole system. And, of course, the bacteria there that's in the water. And an amount of plants that you put in is important, water flow rate, oxygen content. So in the bigger commercial systems, we pump oxygen. So one of our components of the whole system is a big air pump. And we're pumping even into the grow beds and the fish tank. The more oxygen for the fish in the water, the more fish you can have. You don't see them coming up to the top and grabbing air. They've got it there in the water. So lettuce, ideal temperatures, and every plant is a little bit different. So if you're doing commercial, you want to decide what are you going to do, tomatoes, lettuce, focus on that, read up on that, and then make your whole system around that. If you want to experiment, do something small that we're going to do with Keith in the beginning here, and try a lot of things. Basil, fast, easy to grow, good market price. Usually basil's worth a lot of money. Good light, sunshine, lots of different varieties of basil. And you've got a continuous harvest. So you stagger your system. We've got our seeds starting. Every week there's a new whole bunch of seeds starting. And then every week we're harvesting. Lots of other things you can grow. So what have you got to do every day? You've got to be there monitoring it. You've got to be in the system, inside the greenhouse, or you're under your shade cloth, as it would be here. Feed the fish every day. Monitor their health. And people know, you don't have to know everything, but there is information on the internet. If the scales start coming off, they've got different colours, they've got disease in their eyes, there's information available to tell you what to do if that happens with the fish and what you've done wrong. You've got to clean out filters every now and then. Check the plant health. Bugs, nutrient deficiencies. And again, there's a lot of different information available to help you with this. It's easy with a smaller system. You can do family size. You can do it bigger in a village. Start something small. You just got to know basics to start with, basic fish care, farming skills. You cannot build it and walk away. Like I said, you've got to stay with this thing. And you've got to have a commitment to it, some sort of knowledge base and know how to solve problems. So when you do your pH testing, you've got to stay. Sorry, I cut the bottom of that off, but it goes from 7 is in the middle here, and that's where you've got to try and keep it, in the middle, halfway between acidity and alkalinity. Again, look at these diagrams that are available on the internet. When the leaves turn yellow, there's something that you can do. You can add more iron. Usually, yellow leaves, you need more iron. And you can add these supplements. And this is how there's things available. I don't know what's here in South Africa, but you can add the iron, you can add salt, gives the magnesium, potassium, nitrates. When you start the system, they call it cycling up. So you put in, usually start with little fish, so there's not going to be much ammonium. So you might have to supplement in the beginning or just start with less plants. So you've got to try and keep these things in balance. And if it gets out of balance, if you get rain come in through the shade cloth and waters down the amount of ammonium, then you might have to add something to the system. So but your pH kit testing that you do will help you do that, know what to do. Lots of resources available on the internet. This guy there, he's one of the best, Bright Agrotech. He puts out a monthly news video, and he covers all sorts of things. You know, nutrients, the system, how to run your pumps, scales. He's got very good monthly, and they're free. Backyard Aquaponics from Australia. They're leading like they are in the rugby. I mean, they're leading the aquaponics world. It's true. We're going to be in the finals together, right? South Africa and Australia. IBC Aquaponics here. So, again, you can do this in lots of different ways. You go on the internet and type in aquaponics, you'll be amazed at how much stuff there's there. So these IBC intermediate bulk containers, you see them all over the world, big white plastic container, what are they, about 1,800 gallons or something. Cut them in half, just one of those, cut the top off, and that's your grow bed, the bottom is your fish tank, and put the fish in, the plants in, and one pump, and you're away. So, and you can read about all that on the internet. Okay, here's a design, just came in this morning, that's why some of these are cut off. And this is your system here, Keith. We got the drawings from EMI in the States, Engineering Ministries International. They do drawings for ours for Kazakhstan. We had these guys come out, 8 of them. They're available, actually. I mean, if you book them up, they can come out and at their expense and help you set these things up. There's the inside of it. So this is what's going to be here in Keith's place. He's all excited now. And there's somebody coming after me. I'm just the first stage of this information and education here. But someone much brighter than me is much more experienced. Keith's recruited. He's coming out and he's going to build one here in 2 weeks. And this is what they're going to build. So there's going to be 2 different systems. Actually, the tank, this is the IBC here. That's going to be in the ground. And then we only need one pump from the fish tank up into the other blue dump barrel, and then it will siphon out through the 2 systems. So the small one on the right there is going to be the media, and the other 2, they're going to be connected together, is going to be the raft system. Okay. Do we have that video there, brother? Like I said, there's a lot on the internet. This will give you an idea. We'll just run it short time. This is a guy from Warwick University in England.
Well, that's quite a difficult act to follow, especially with a story about fish. But what I'm going to talk today about is probably a word that many of you won't have heard about before, something called aquaponics and also closed-loop systems. Ultimately, the work that I do is about creating an ecosystem approach to growing food. I think for me, the penny really dropped while I was doing my PhD research over in Southeast Asia, working on integrated farming systems and seeing the difference between farmers that really use their wastes as resources as opposed to others that are being driven to use more agrochemicals, more pesticides, and moving towards the sort of the conventional forms of agriculture. So aquaponics really involves two very sustainable technologies in their own right. Aquaculture, or the ability to grow fish and aquatic organisms in water, as well as hydroponics, the growing of plants without soil. When we bring these two technologies together, we form aquaponics. The ultimate idea behind it is we take the wastes from the fish and we use that nutrient-rich water as a feed for the plants. The plants then in turn take up those nutrients, filtering the water for the fish before it returns back as clean and sustainable closed-loop system. Ultimately, it's about recycling wastes into resources. It's about creating ecosystems in areas where they otherwise wouldn't exist. It's about combining complementary technologies together to try and close the loop on food production. About promoting biodiversity, and ultimately about producing food. And it's producing food that I'm going to talk a little bit more about now, particularly pertinent in the lead up to lunch. If we look at a system and a food production system in particular, in terms of its inputs and outputs, we can judge that system based on its ability to generate more from less. If we look first at aquaculture itself, we have a cycle where we take the fish wastes, we use nitrifying bacteria to convert those wastes, and also filtration systems to allow water to be recirculated within a system. We have a number of inputs to the system. Firstly, fish food. There are a number of sort of sustainability questions that I won't go into now about fish food. But the crux is around about 1.2 kilos to 1.4 kilos of fish food go in to produce 1 kilo of fish. They are the most efficient converters of protein in terms of farming livestock. We also have energy required to run water pumps and aeration to create an environment in which these animals can thrive and grow. And water. Recirculating aquaculture is actually very water efficient. It's defined by using only 10% of water every day. However, this 10% is need to be replaced and topped up from time to time. If we then look at our outputs, we produce fish, obviously, vital for a balanced and healthy diet. And then if we go into the technology that I've devoted my life towards developing, short life so far anyway, aquaponics ultimately involves still using these nitrifying bacteria, converting toxic ammonia into nitrite and nitrates. The nitrate is then the nutrient that can be taken up by plants, especially leafy green crops. The result is we have another output from the system using the same amount of food and energy going in, but we also decrease the amount of water used within the system. So I guess by integrating other technologies as well into the system, which is a big part of our work, we can reduce the inputs that go in to produce these crops. I should also say, within an aquaponic system, it's possible to grow 30 to 50 kilos of vegetables for every kilo of fish that you produce. So by integrating vermiculture, or wormeries as many people know it as, we know that we can take the waste from fish and grow plants with them. But once we've grown those plants, we take the waste of those plants, whether it's the root system or the outer leaves, and put them into wormeries. From that, we can produce vermicompost to provide soil enrichment for soil-grown crops, Also worm teas, which provide a biopesticide to spray onto the plants, as well as a foliar fertilizer. But most importantly, the worms themselves, these can be used as a feed source to then feed back into the fish. Thus, we reduce our inputs to the system and we increase our outputs. Another very useful method that I could go on about for about 18 minutes alone is black soldier flies, these incredible little creatures that outcompete the disease-carrying blue and green bottle maggots. But ultimately, we take the fish wastes, whether it's cooked or uncooked, the guts, the head, and the processing wastes, and put them into enclosures where soldier flies eat and turn that waste product into a usable, nice little packaged form of protein. And in fact, if you give these soldier flies a 30-degree ramp, they'll actually harvest themselves, falling straight into a fish tank, sort of almost lemming-like. Due to animal byproducts legislation, we can't actually take the waste from a fish, feed them to soldier flies, and feed those soldier flies back to fish. So we have to incorporate another animal into our ecosystem. However, we take the soldier flies that have fed from those fish to produce food to feed to chickens, and then we use the chicken waste to then to produce more soldier flies to feed back to the fish. The result is obviously more outputs and further lowering our inputs. Along with the chickens, we obviously also get eggs. Another example of integrating is giant freshwater prawns, an animal that we're currently working with to try and close the loop and add more value to the system. When we have this nutrient-rich water and light entering that water, we inevitably produce algae. That algae provides the food then for another animal in the chain, such as the giant freshwater prawn, which helps clean the water and provides a value-added addition to the system. Similarly, we can increase the resilience of the system as a whole to breed our fish, to produce eggs and then fry, to use to repopulate the system or to start seeding other systems. But I guess one of the major inputs that we still see here is energy. And by looking beyond food itself, incorporating other technologies here, such as solar photovoltaic, if we incorporate these ecosystems into a greenhouse or a building, for example, we can use the energy from the sun, harnessing and capturing it from solar photovoltaic sources to provide both a lowering of the energy costs that we need to put into the system, but also through feed-in tariffs, providing another output, another economic output of the system. Similarly, using biomass heating, if we use the same energy from the sun captured and stored within trees, we can basically burn those trees to provide heat to heat up the water. And with a tropical ecosystem comes enhanced productivity, thus reducing our heat inputs even further. And we can, next to these systems, incorporate short rotation coppice to chip our own biomass to heat the water. The remaining input that we can see is dominant, even though relatively speaking it's actually quite low. But if we incorporate things like rainwater harvesting technologies alongside our systems, when the rain falls, as it inevitably does in this country, we can store that water and use it to then replace any of the losses that are either taken up by vegetables or lost through evaporation. So ultimately, we're decreasing the inputs to this system, or we're increasing the outputs by creating these closed-loop and dynamic ecosystems. Ultimately, aquaponics is really about creating more from less. So where does aquaponics fit? My organization, a social enterprise, is working within a wide variety of different disciplines. Firstly, working with householders, families themselves, allowing them access to this technology to take it into their own homes, their greenhouses, their conservatories, to be able to produce food, healthy, fresh food for their own families. Also in schools, aquaponics really represents, for many of these sustainability messages, a Trojan horse, taking a lot of these messages into schools and engaging children in how many of our ecosystem functions work. Commercial production. We're working with a wide variety of producers, both here in the UK, also in North America and the Middle East, to try and reinvent the way that we grow food in a more sustainable and joined-up manner. Similarly for communities, I go from here up to an organisation, our next project in Moffat on the borders of Scotland, where a community have come together, bought a disused building for £1 from the council and are turning it into a multifaceted farming and community project. And urban agriculture. Obviously, aquaponics doesn't need soil fertility. It doesn't need.
So this guy goes into this community that he just started to talk about. He buys a shop in the middle of other shops in a street downtown, and he turns this whole shop into a farm where they got an aquaponic system, they got a chicken house, they got solar lights, the whole thing, people are going in buying, and the kids are coming in and getting an education. So it's opened up to the school. So a lot of organisations now in the US are doing this, educating the kids in the schools, trying to bring a revolution in the food industry. And that's what it is, locally grown food that's, you know, within a few hours is from the aquaponic system into onto the plate. And it can be done anywhere. In Egypt, they're talking about putting it on rooftops. In Switzerland, there's a whole new mall that they're building. On the top of the mall is a huge aquaponic system. And they go up there, they harvest, they come down into the mall, and they're eating the food. So very productive, and it's God's system. You know, you got the thing running, you don't have to add anything. Just a little bit of water every little while because of the evaporation, and away you go. Thank you.